This VB Day Fevan Bar and Catch Up is available and open for business 7 days a week. And so is Western Highway Honda, Caroline Springs. Their 4 day sale on now. Score a Honda Civic from just $24,490.
Madonna is kicking goals continuously. Just when you're a massive pop star from the 80s and you continue to dominate, why not? Now she's got adopted twins. I haven't really, it's hard to keep up, isn't it, really?
Is she still adopted?
Yeah, I just don't know anymore. I knew she had David and then there was Mercy. I didn't know Esther and Stella or even, I didn't know she'd adopted more. But anyway, they're newly adopted. So she's got two new children. I make that sound like she's getting new clothes, but I don't know how else to say it. So good on her. She loves being a mum, and despite the fact she doesn't necessarily come across as maternal from the outside, she's clearly very maternal and loves her kids. What's interesting is that her kids, particularly the young ones, these two new adopted twins, have no idea who she is. And when I say that, they know who she is when she walks in the front door, but they don't know that she's Madonna, a global superstar.
If I was like in an orphanage and someone famous come over, you'd put on that real sad doggy face and you'd be like, please take me. But you would.
Okay, mate.
Imagine the life you'd have.
They're not Oliver from the musical, mate. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Doesn't work like that. It's a good gig.
So, but, you know, I was thinking about this because that's like proper fame for your parents. And I don't know, and I just remember when I was at school, and no, I didn't go to school with anyone nearly as famous as Madonna. Hmm. But I remember one of my girlfriends, this is like primary school, one of my friends, her dad owned a Mitsubishi store. And we were all like, but he had television commercials and was on the television ads.
A store.
Yeah. They're like, well, no, a car yard.
A dealership.
So her name was, you know, Serena Tompkins, and her dad, Bill Tompkins, go to Mitsubishi in said suburb and get, and we were all like, your dad's famous.
Wait a minute. Your dad's
on the telly.
You grew up near Ringwood. It wasn't in Car City, was it?
No, it wasn't Car City.
Well, that would have been massive.
Her dad was that big inflatable figure that just like floats around outside.
The dangly arms.
Is that your dad? Is that your dad?
No. So, but I remember in primary school, and there became that, oh, you're famous, your family's famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you think about it now, as adults, well, I don't know anymore, yeah. But now you go, that's ridiculous. But as kids, sort of the fame and 131060, if you owned any lame fame from your parents, like, you know, your parents were in a commercial ad, or maybe somebody this morning was saying, who was it?
One of the minions out there.
No, I think it was Tim.
All right, which pleb was it?
No, Tim James, one of our exceptional producers. In fact, our senior producer, he's been promoted. You were saying you got really jealous of some of your kids at school because why, Tim?
A guy that I played basketball with when I was a kid, his parents owned the milk bar. They were celebrities.
This is good. No, this is excellent.
Yeah. He's right. You could just get Whiz Fizz like it's going out of fashion.
See, 131060. The lame fame of your parents. Let's celebrate it.
I like it.
I got nothing. My mum cleaned and dad worked at Officeworks.
Well, you would have got I was at Officeworks.
Not Officeworks.
Yesterday.
Gas and fuel. Sorry.
Oh,
okay, that's a lot different.
Mum worked at Officeworks.
I got one for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Old Snagglepuss, Peter Thornton. He owned a 3-wheel car. It's a Messerschmitt. And it was like a 3-wheel car. So when he came to pick me up, I was a god. But then in high school, that changed real quick.
We'll come back to your calls.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We were just talking about the fact that Madonna's new adopted twins have no idea that their new mum is a global superstar. And when we can't relate to that in Melbourne necessarily, but when we were all kids, you would have had somebody at the school whose parent had some claim to fame. Like at my school, my girlfriend's dad owned the Mitsubishi car yard in the neighbouring suburb and was on the telly. He had a TV commercial.
Wow, that's a celebrity. That's a serious celebrity.
Yeah, I just had my brother, Jace, just text through. Loves listening. And he said it was dad, but it was mum. That was on The Price is Right.
Oh!
And they made it to the end, and there was a, you know, the final one where you got to put them all in the different positions.
In the order.
And it was a spa and a bar. And Dad said, I think the spa's worth more than the bar, but the bar was worth more than the spa. And he missed it.
That'll get you.
And he walked away with a toaster.
Oh!
It was like a $30,000 package.
So was it Angie or was it Kaz?
It was Kaz. It was Mum.
Imagine the electricity between her and Larry.
Dad was in the crowd with his big dirty moustache yelling out, "Bah!" It was Dad's fault. He's going, "Bah! Bah!" Because he loves a frothy. Nah, you got it wrong, mate. We got a toaster, though.
Yeah, oh, there you go. You got some Pop-Tarts.
But that's great lame fame of your parents. I love it. Helen in Noble Park. Hi, Helen.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good, Helen. Were your parents famous for anything in particular?
Yes. So about 25 years ago when I was in primary school, my parents owned a fish and chip shop. Oh. And at lunchtime, me and all my friends and everybody used to run to the gate because our parents used to bring me and my brothers little snack pack fish and chips to us at school. And because everybody else was having sandwiches and cold food, for instance, we were very famous for having the hot food delivered.
Oh. That'd get your school captain.
It would, wouldn't it? We pinch a chip. And we just used to say no.
Oh, of course you would.
That is a great thing for popularity because you're right. Your parents own a fish and chip shop. Everybody wants to be your friend because you get
amazing.
Chips.
Nowadays, like the school kids actually order Uber Eats. I think some schools are saying stop ordering Uber Eats. But back then, I mean, that had cut through.
Lauralee in Bowen North. Hi, Lauralee.
Hello, Fifi. How are you?
Really Ooh. Well. Ooh, were your parents famous for something?
My mother was Miss Missouri in a Miss America contest, and she came second.
That's huge.
Missouri's one of the hottest states, too.
It's hot, all right, in the summer. But I was thinking, as you were talking, I had a lot of friends at school whose parents were movie stars.
Because you would have gone to school somewhere in the States.
I went, I grew up in Aspen, and... Ooh, almost everybody there, you're either, you know, somebody or you work for somebody. And, a lot of my friends were
really famous.
Movie stars.
Give us one name.
Lauralee, this is your chance to name drop. Go for it.
Oh, no. When you grow up there, you don't find those things mesmerizing because it's normal.
Well, just one name.
But we are bog standard. We'll find it amazing.
I remember the $6 million man, the guy who was his boss in the TV series.
Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
Yeah, but the...
His boss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was...
Well, I mean, Kate Hudson was, for example, I've been to parties with her.
There we go.
That's all we needed. Yeah, I would have opened with Kate Hudson.
I'll tell you what, we got the long way around, but we got there.
Thank you. That was great from Lauralee. That's actual famous people.
Yeah, that is. Well done. Thank you for that, Lauralee. Denise. Denise in Mill Park. Hi, Denise.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Thanks, Denise.
Yep. Okay, so my dad, we used to live in Auckland, and my dad, he worked at Coca-Cola.
Oh, yes.
So, And, so I used to totally ham it up, tell everyone that I knew that the recipe for Coca-Cola.
That's great.
But I must admit, we didn't drink Coca-Cola for at least sort of 15 years until I started drinking alcohol, really. Because, we had Coke all the time at our house.
What's the point without some bourbon thrown in there?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Gorgeous Natalie Bassingthwaite. Nat Bass back in the studio and back on the telly tonight, 9 p.m. Channel 10. The Wrong Girl. Obviously, we love this show. We love everything about it. And your debut tonight, Nat, I am so excited about.
Aww.
And your character. Okay, let's talk about your character. Okay. What is she doing? Why does she come in?
Gillian is an award-winning pastry chef, as you do. Kind of like myself.
Have they made you do classes?
Can't make anything just quietly. I tried to bake one anyway. We just don't even need to go there. But Gillian, she's amazing, clearly. Yeah, comes in. Lily and Jack are together, right? For those who don't know, Jess Murray's character plays Lily. Rob plays Rob Collins, the gorgeous, hunky Rob.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he's a little bit cute.
And he's a chef on the show.
And that's right, so he can cook as well.
Oh, look out. Match made in heaven.
Jack are ex-lovers. Yes. So she kind of comes in. Lily is like, what the? It's all crazy. But it's so fun. Fabulous show. Really quirky, fun writing. Thank you, Zoe Foster Blake, yes. Based on her novel, obviously.
Wonderful book.
Yeah. And yeah, I've just had an absolute ball.
Well, we can't wait to see you on the telly. What are you looking at?
I'm just so excited to see tonight's show. I try to get Nat at the back there and just try to talk to her about the show, but she wouldn't give me any.
Yeah, he wanted a little bit. Because you actually do love the show, don't you?
I do love the show. Yeah. And I watch it with the girls and I sit there and then all the ads is Nat coming up and then you see Lily's face and she's like, her chin hits the ground.
Gutted.
Because you've got so much chemistry. And she's like, what we should have done?
Yeah. Do you know what we should have done for you, Nat? Because remember my very first episode of Neighbours last year?
Yes, I do. Just saying. I do. Clearly, what did I say there? Yeah, just saying.
I just remember, that was very funny.
Do you remember I said that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just saying. Just saying.
You did say that.
Picked it.
Did you see when I was on Neighbours?
No, I missed that one.
Sorry.
We missed those 3 seconds.
Remember, we filled a cinema. We should have filled a cinema tonight for your debut on The Wrong Girl. That was a massive miss.
Anyway, guys, just quickly, I know we've got a lot on tonight with The Wrong Girl, but the other big event, but it's a massive event. Next Thursday night. It is our arena spectacular for Are You Smarter Than? We just thought we might kick off a bit of a practice run. FIFA's old mates with Nat Bass.
Yeah.
This would be great fun.
And you break up our friendship by having us compete against each other.
So here we go.
Are You Smarter Than? Arena Spectacular.
At the Chipmunks Play Centre in Cranbourne.
That's where it is next Thursday. 10 grand for the winner. Good luck. Register at fox.com.au. Click on the win page. But this is a bit of a practice run.
Yeah, and no pressure now. I did beat Carl Stefanovic a couple of days ago. So I'm in form.
And we've had a few other guys. Sebastian's played.
Yeah, he beat you.
This wasn't part of the game. What's going on? When did this happen?
I know.
Who let this happen? I'm going to let you win. I'm probably pretty crap. Just quietly.
Best of three, Nat. You'd be best familiar with the rules. Best of three.
I think I'm going to vomit.
Righto, here we go. Question one.
You better tell me the answers.
in relation to texting, what does SMS stand for?
Standard messaging service.
Oh, short messaging service. Oh, you were so close.
Did I get half a point?
At least you had a crack. No. Boxy had no idea.
Is it buzzer in?
Yeah, let's try.
We know who you are.
Okay.
Don't complicate our format.
Point five for me.
I'll try and make it a little bit easier, okay?
Okay.
How many colours are there on a Rubik's Cube?
Six.
Oh, that was a dead heat.
Oh, no, Nat.
Yeah. You reckon Nat got it?
I think she did. Let's have a replay. Yeah. Six.
Well done.
Nat won, Fief nil.
Oh, my God, I'm like, my nerves are
this
like,
this is to stay in at Fief.
You're like a crouching tiger.
I hate this.
You don't really need to answer this.
Okay, I'll just sit back down.
Answer it, you can knock Fief out.
This is a last and a final question.
I've got to get it to stay in it.
Hemophobia is a phobia of what?
Are you sure you said that?
What did you say?
Hemophobia.
Hemophobia.
Same thing. I read it as homophobia. Hemo. I didn't want to say that.
H-E-M-O.
Helium.
No.
A fear of blood something.
Yes.
Correct. And Nat.
Shush. Stop the nonsense.
One.
Nat has won.
A fear of blood.
Brilliant. We've learned a few things from this.
Hemophiliacs. Hemophilia. I think you pronunciation was shock.
You can have a hemophobic.
Okay.
Hemophobia.
Anyway, I was right.
We've learned a few things from this.
Actually, I was right.
Yeah, you were right. And you won.
I beat me.
Well done.
That was so impressive.
Is on The Wrong Girl tonight at 9 p.m. We've also learned that Fev will not be hosting Are You Smarter Than the Arena Spectacular.
Read that all right, mate.
We'll need to get a professional. We're going to make a call after eight, in fact, to if you can think of the greatest game show host of all time, we have this person's number and we're going to call them. Yeah, so hope because that's not good enough.
And just quickly before we say bye to Nat, because obviously 9 p.m. tonight, Channel 10, The Wrong Girl, but also, can I just do a shout out for your amazing clothing company, because honestly, the clothing, like Trixie doesn't want to wear anything else because of the soft, beautiful bamboo fabric. It's gorgeous, so you're doing a great job and thank you.
Thank you. We're going to be at the Royal Exhibition Centre this weekend for One Fine Baby. Get that in there too.
And you'll be there.
I'll be there all weekend.
Unbelievable. Lots happening for Nat Bass.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The Bachelorette. It's The Bachelor actually. Last night spoiler alert, if you've taped it and you don't want to know what happened, I'm giving you a chance to leave the radio station. Not always a good thing to do when you're on a breakfast show. But anyway, for those who stuck around, Alora's gone. Now Alora is the one that went in to try to kiss Matty J last week and then he ducked and weaved and said, no, I don't want to kiss you.
Alora.
Alora.
She sounds like hand cream, but
go on. And anyway, so she was kicked off last night, very upset about it.
If he would have let it happen. From the start, I saw something with Maddie. I did.
And I feel heartbroken right now.
I just don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me.
And then what she did was set fire to all the memorabilia and gifts. She put all the roses that she dried out, her date cards. Ooh. She'd saved selfies from their first date, and she put them in a bin and set them on fire.
Did she?
Yeah. Great, yeah.
Dramatic.
Very dramatic, Dave. And it's interesting, though, because I would imagine, and I'm going to put my hand up and I'll tell you a story about what I did at the end of a relationship. Sometimes at the end of the relationship, you do things. You throw rings into ponds. You burn stuff. And then down the track, you go, that was like a $20,000 engagement ring that I just threw off the St Kilda Pier. I wish I could get that back.
Can we drain the Albert Park Lake, guys? I really need that cash.
Speaking about the ring in the Wayne Rooney's wife about 10 years ago, a long while ago, chucked her $250,000 engagement ring into a lake in England. And then they're back together and they got divers to go in and try to find it. Because she was like, oh, hang on a second. Might need to get that back.
I see. Did they find it?
Yeah, they got it.
Oh, wow.
Funny is that? Yeah, Loch Ness got that. Where's the ring?
Now, I remember when the end of my first relationship, now my first boyfriend, so back when I was like 18, he gave me, now, because I was a Bulldog, a Footscray supporter, and he was too, but his great-great-grandfather, he wasn't part of the Woofy thing. I didn't eat dog food for him. So he's like great-great-grandfather had this ornamental brooch that was part of like the first Footscray team. It was this incredible heirloom that was a part of the Footscray football team, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. And he'd given it to me. And when our relationship ended, I went into our backyard where my mum still lives to this day in Wonga Park. And I just threw it into the bush and mum's out there on an acreage. So it just went, pinged it off into the bush. And then when I'd calmed down and went, yeah, I'm better off without him anyway, a few months later, I thought, I'll go and get that. To this day, I can't find it. And even when I go and visit mum, I'll occasionally just go into the backyard, have it kick up some dirt, go, is it? Like, I can't find that anywhere.
Why don't we try to find it?
I'd love to. Fev, honestly, there's like an embankment and it went down the embankment. Oh, we should.
We should get a search party. This is great.
And then when we get it, get Antique Roadshow to come down, price it for us.
Value it.
And we can try to sell it to the Bulldogs.
I love
it. We try to sell it to the mate.
The way Fev's mind works.
Always on the hustle.
The 13, 10,
you're a 60. Famous man caught in almost like a homeless man's mindset.
13, 10, 60. What did you destroy or throw away after a relationship ended and then you really regretted it?
Well, we'll see how we go on the phones. It's Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Alora got kicked off The Bachelor last night and burnt all the memorabilia that she had from her limited dating with Maddie J on a television series. But anyway, she did it. And we've just said 13, 10, 60. What did you, after a breakup, throw out or burn that when you'd calmed down and the emotion left the situation, you really regretted? Jessica in Melton. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how you going?
You're good, Jess. What did you get rid of and after the fact went, maybe I should have kept that?
I received a pair of Tiffany & Co. diamond earrings for my birthday from my ex-boyfriend. Yeah, they were beautiful and it was lovely. But when we broke up, I was very angry and ended up throwing them out.
Oh, Jess. And you, like in the bin, so gone.
Yeah, literally just dropped them in the bin. Yeah.
Do you know what, Jess? That is a Tiffany earrings. You've just reminded me. I had an ex-boyfriend give me a Tiffany necklace that I threw out too. I'm just wondering where I threw it.
Where is it? Because we're already looking for the other thing in your backyard.
I think it was in another backyard. I've got to stop throwing things
stop
away.
Stop throwing stuff out.
It seems like the team's going to go to your mum's backyard to find it. Couldn't you just say it's caught in the Crown Towers or something? And then the radio station will go there and we'll have a great night
out. In Hawaii on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute.
Hi, I'm Rosie Waterland. I had a pretty full-on life growing up. It was a full-on world living with mentally ill, drug and alcohol addicted parents, constantly moving, sometimes to good places, sometimes not. There were very crazy times, hard times and funny times too. I even wrote a book about it, my memoir, The Anti-Cool Girl. It's been a few years since the book came out and now my mum is sober. She's finally read the book and she has some thoughts about it. The first is that most of my memoir is a lie. Now is our time to talk it out, and we're doing it in a podcast. Mum Says My Memoir Is a Lie. Listen at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Hey, we have a lot of laughs on this show. We have a lot of fun. So this is unusual for us to do this, but every now and then I think it's really important as members of this community to reach out and broadcast to everybody listening that we have people amongst us who are in need, and that is the Red Cross. Now, I read this story yesterday that that concerned me and alarmed me personally. There is currently a critical shortage of O-negative blood. Now, that is why that is important is only 9% of the people in Australia have O negative blood, so not many. And they are now right down to only one day's worth.
Wow.
So if anybody is
I think I'm like a B maybe.
Yeah. Oh, so you know what you are.
I think I'm, what See, are you?
I am O negative.
Oh.
And I found out when I was pregnant I was O negative, and I realised that I was in the minority. And why, you know, I read this story and I thought, gee, and that's when, you know, my heart breaks for anyone who right now needed a blood transfusion and they had O negative, because the stock is so low that people, you know, we could lose people because there's not enough O negative blood. And that's my daughter's O negative. I'm O negative. Anything happened to my daughter, there wouldn't be any blood for her. So this alarmed me so much, and I am scared of needles. I don't like giving, I've never given blood because I'm so terrified of what it, the whole process. And I'm actually a bit ashamed of that, to be really honest. This is something that I encourage all of us to do. And yet here I am, you know, scaredy pants, what just terrified. Well, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
So today, I'm heading to the Red Cross this morning to give my O negative blood.
How scared are you?
Well, I'm not, I'm really, I'm trying not to think about it. I'm drinking all these fluids this morning.
Do you want me to come with you?
Would you?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll come and give blood as well.
You come and do it with me?
Yeah.
Oh, Bev, I'd love that.
You can't get the cookies or anything, mate. She's the one working. All right.
No, I'll give blood.
Oh, I'd love that, because I
then you do get the cookie.
Because, yeah, so it's and I've got a couple of friends that do it regularly, and I admire them. I think this is such an important, critical thing to do. So I am beseeching anybody listening who is O negative particularly.
Yeah, that's the real shortage, but obviously everyone's welcome, yeah. But that's the big shortage.
Well, definitely. I think everyone should consider giving blood, because these transfusions save lives and there are people who need it, and particularly O negative. So if you know you're O negative or know somebody, take an hour, head to the Red Cross in the next few days.
Yep.
And if someone like me, who is a massive scaredy pants, and I'm going to do it, and you know what, I didn't even realise how rare my blood type was. This is wrong for me to have not been doing this, and I will continue to do this.
So today is straight after the show. I mean, not to put you under the spot, but I mean, you're going to do it straight, like pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I'm scared of needles too, but I'll come.
Good work. All right, well, it's donateblood.com.
Okay, so we sit in the chair next to each other. Oh, this is great. Do you think they'll put the needles in at the same time so I can hold your hand?
How long does it go? How much blood
do
they take?
I don't know much about it, and I know, I honestly think it's a lot of blood, but that's fine.
I'm becoming a little bit of a
we'll be
pants.
Good.
let's do it.
And right. So I'm just putting that out there to Melbourne. If you are O negative, this is a crisis shortage. Please go to the Red Cross and donate your blood.
Yeah, donateblood.com.au is where you can register to be a blood donor. That's donateblood.com.au. Great work from Fife. You start somewhere. You started today.
Well,
it's fantastic.
You know, my daughter's O negative. I mean, you know, we're saving kids' lives.
Fife, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Guys, I read a story last night that I just had to share with you. Okay, so picture this. There's a guy going on a Tinder date. He's hooked up with a chick on Tinder. They've gone out to a pub, whatever, had a drink, and then they've gone back to his place. They've gone back to his place to watch the soccer. And
sure they have.
They're sitting there on the couch, and she's gone into the bathroom, and she's been there a bit longer than usual. Anyway, Oh, it's pretty gross actually, but I'm going to clean this right up.
Okay.
She comes back out into the lounge room, and she says, "Look, there's something I need to tell you." What she'd done is, she'd done number twos in the toilet. That was unnecessary. That bit was unnecessary. And then,
let that be said, that was Brendan for
that was Fev.
It got blocked and she couldn't flush it. So she was panicking. So then what she did was,
Fev's gone.
And now he's laughing like Muttley. Carry on.
So she panicked and furiously trying to flush it and went, "This is embarrassing. I really like this guy." So then she got toilet paper.
Sorry?
She got toilet paper and she wrapped up the necessary thing that was embarrassing in the toilet paper. Lots and lots of toilet paper.
This is a scene from a film. This
this is
dumb
amazing.
And dumber.
And then she's thrown it out the window. But after she's thrown it, she's realised this house butts right up against the next door neighbour's house. So essentially,
like a terrace house.
Yeah, even tighter, because I've just seen a photo of this. It's like there's a tiny gap between the two windows, sort of stuck in the window a bit. So anyway, she's basically now there's just that outside the window. So she's gone back. She's told the guy. She's gone, so embarrassing. And he went, okay, let's go and deal with it. I mean, this is so, imagine this was your first date with a guy you liked.
Mortifying.
And then he's lifted her up to get her down in that wedged bit where she's dropped her thing wrapped up in toilet paper. And she's gotten stuck upside down. Upside down. They've called the fire department. She's had to be removed. There's a photo of her literally stuck upside down, hanging out of a window.
Does a bag of poo sit in the realm of firefighters? Is this within their hitting zone?
It's amazing to me that all on your first date, you've ended up.
Fev's gone. He's just had to eject himself from the show. He's gone.
It had everything for him.
I know.
Dating, poos.
You know, you read stories every now and then. They often end up being urban myths. This was not an urban myth that happened. There's the firefighters. They turned up.
Great story at their wedding.
Yeah, the Avon, this is over in the UK, the Avon Fire and Rescue crew, they even uploaded it to their Twitter feed. This is what happened.
Can that picture, would it be all right to put up on Instagram?
Yeah, because it's just a woman who's trapped outside, wedged between two windows.
Well, let's put it up.
It's just amazing. Yeah,
and with the picture of the poo, we'll put the googly eyes on it so it looks like an emoji.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
As I sit here in a studio with three men, I have new research for you boys that I think you might want to listen to. There's been a survey to find out what age is a man the most boring? And I thought you'd be interested to know this.
It's a flawed study because you could have a boring 18-year-old who's never going to be exciting at any point in their life.
Well, no, but that's every study had.
Truer words never been spoken by.
No, it's general. Most surveys, they're rationalised, they're generalised, and we end up here, boys. Here we go. Peak boring age for a man.
How many people were surveyed, Boxy?
Four.
Are you going to this? I don't actually have those details. Peak boring age for a man, 39.
You've
got a couple of years. You're about to approach being your most boring ever, Fev. You too, Dave.
Don't worry. We've got the Acras coming up. We'll see how boring I am.
You're not supposed to just fight the research.
It's the Radio Awards, not of nights. Fight Radio's Logies.
Look, it's fair enough. When you're peaking, you're a dude, you've got to drop at one point in time. They didn't do the research with women because most of their stories are boring to begin with.
Okay, let me ask you this, Fev. I'll ask one of the other boys in a second. But okay, be honest for a moment. What do you think? What age were you when you were the most boring? What was a boring age for you as a man?
Probably when I was a baby.
It was a boring toddler.
As soon as I was able to walk, it was on.
It's just it's an interesting concept, though. Just why, and I wonder why 39-year-old men are boring.
Well, hang on.
I'd like to, can I just do this? 13,
you're
boring 16.
Past 39, you're not boring. Mm-hmm. You're not boring.
No, I'm just wondering, and open the phones by all means. You get more exciting again. So you get your peak boring at 39.
Yeah.
So there's some 62-year-old out there who's way less boring.
49-year-old men are less boring.
Yeah, I reckon 40-year-olds aren't boring. I know a lot of 40-year-olds that I'd love to hang
up and
out
about.
With more than 20-year-olds. Immature.
13, 10, 60, and this is open for women too. But I love to hear what girls think about when men are most boring. If you've got, feel free to your dad, your brothers, whoever you're drawing upon. What do you think a boring age for a man is?
It's a ridiculous question.
It is ridiculous.
It just depends who you hang out with.
13, Does 10, it? 60. Yeah. Let's base it only on age.
If I was hanging around with these two guys, it won't be boring. But if I was hanging around with Leon and Tim.
But I think why they've said 39 for men is because at that age, in fact, I could probably have read the article. That age, yes, here we go. Children and mortgages. So at that particular, it's in mid-30s to late-30s, men get bogged down with newborn babies, toddlers, kids, mortgages, school fees, and you just hit your sweet boring spot.
That's so you've got all this stress. Commonly men suffer from depression. You're boring, mate. You're boring.
We'll come back to your calls on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
A little survey came out that said that 39 is apparently the peak age of boringness for men. And I was sitting here in a studio with men just under 39, one very, very slightly over, and I was asking your opinions on what you thought, guys, when you were at your most boring.
Well, expect a ratings dip in a couple of years. We will be pretty boring.
Yeah.
mind you, if a bloke goes, you want to answer these questions like as a researcher, yeah, I'm getting pretty boring because I don't want to be in his presence. Yeah. So I reckon every bloke they talk to is like, oh, mate,
actually, get away from me. It is a flawed concept because doing a survey is boring. So that would make you boring.
100%.
In that 20 minutes that you're filling out the survey, you're probably at your peak boriness. Mm. But anyway,
it's so true. Like, oh, we found out when people were refinancing their house, they were a bit boring. Just all that paperwork. Of course they are.
Katie and Pakenham. Hi, Katie.
Right now.
Hi, how are you going?
Don't say that good, out
Katie.
Loud.
Katie, do you think that a man is at his most boring exactly at 39?
Well, I have a boyfriend who's almost 30 and he spends most weekends on the couch watching TV falling asleep, whereas my dad, who is 56, goes out every weekend until all hours of the morning playing in his band.
I love it. So, Katie, 30 is quite boring then.
Yeah.
Make a note.
So this is only good news for you, hopefully, that your boyfriend gets less boring as he ages.
Yeah, but he probably works all week. He does.
He works really hard all week. But then come the weekend, he just wants to sleep and do nothing. Whereas my dad works too. He works all week. And then come Saturday night, he's out at the pub playing in his band.
Or, Katie, you're proving what we all thought and we always think about studies, that everybody's different.
Thank you for that, Pete.
That's a very good
I would
point.
Remind you that you produced this research.
Yeah. I did.
As Confucius once said, everyone's different.
David in Melton. Hi, Dave.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. What do you think? Firstly, are you 39, near 39, and are you boring?
I am 39 and I turn 40 next month, and I died, depending what your definition of boring is, but I don't think I'm boring.
You don't sound boring. In fact, do you think you're getting less boring as you approach 40?
Oh, no. Well, in the next month, I hope I don't get any less boring, but no, I don't think so.
That's good. No,
everyone has a 40th, don't they? Has a party.
I didn't.
Well, 40, naughty 40s.
You didn't have a party.
Good chat.
No.
Forgot. Yeah. I'll get round to it.
You forgot.
Thank you, David.
We'll get round to it soon.
We'll move on to Jane. David is hoping to get less boring as time goes forward.
Yeah, and I think he's on to something.
What a way to start the morning.
Jane.
Go to work just knowing you're boring.
Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Jane.
My husband is boring, boring, boring.
Ooh. And how old is he?
45.
And all he
wants to do is sit on the couch, watch the footy with a drink, and I'm ready to party.
Jane, is there any? Can I just ask a question? How long have you been together?
12 years.
So back when he was 32, was
he partied?
Oh, so he. Oh, okay. So the boring has escalated.
It has, and our kids are older now, and I just want him to come out and party with me.
Right. And what's he got against partying now that he's 45?
Oh, he just wants to stay home and get old.
That's depressing. This is really depressing, guys. This phone call.
Does that just sound like every weekend?
Yeah, well, I've from 17 to 33, I've crammed a lot in. So from 33 to 50, I can relax.
Yeah,
and then I'd still be in front.
It's safer for everyone if it's just on the couch watching the footy.
Yeah, I've got credit in the bank.
Good on you, Jane. Well, hopefully things...
Hey, catch me.
You've maxed out in your stupidity bank, mate. Okay,
we're out of here. Keegs up next. Old School Night at Night. Every song is a sing-along. Hey, whoa. There's nothing boring about a sing-along. Every song coming up in the Old School 9 at 9, you can sing along at the top of your lungs. Fifi, you'll be in your car because you go straight out
another
of the office.
Another sing-along.
We're going to get played so we can listen.
Oh, yeah, big shout.
Oh, actually, good point.
Can I just say this again? Take the music down, please, for a second. No, this is a really important message from the Australian Red Cross. They have a critical shortage of O-negative blood. Now, if you have O-negative blood like myself, please head to the Red Cross. Fev and I, we're about to head off there and give some blood right now. I've got that O-negative blood. And just think about it. If any of your loved ones have O-negative, they're down to a day's worth. So people will lose their lives if we don't start giving O-negative blood. So check what your blood type is and please go and donate.
Yeah, donateblood.com.au. Great work. While you're driving to the blood bank, you can enjoy the sing-alongs from Keegs. Old School 9 at 9. Every so okay, put on a Walkman or something. Just go with
a
me.
Walkman?
Something. Just be listening to Keegs on your Fox app. Yeah.
Exactly. If you're rollerblading down there, you stick on that Walkman, you have some fun.
Put it on your boombox and it's on after 9.
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up is just a few minutes away whenever you want to listen to it again. And Western Highway Honda Caroline Springs is just a few Ks from the Westgate. Their four-day sale. On now. Score a Honda HR-V from just $26,490.